Verse 3 says, let me get the right translation here. King James Version says this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I believe that, you know, there is there's a generation that's going to inherit the supernatural power of God. You know, when we start talking about, you know, a finishing generation, a people who's going to really carry the baton and really, that's going to really do great exploits for God, there are some spiritual things that has to be passed on. And many times, most people think that, you know, as long as the Lord gives me, you know, I've got the anointing and I got this or whatever and stuff. As long as they have this kind of mindset where they don't really need anybody, they're really not going to be able to go but so far. You with me? So this is the thing that has really, really happened. That's okay. I saw it. I got the book. That's okay. It really has to be passed on. You know, we talked about how, you know, the great men and women of God who God has used mightily, and how we've not really seen a great move of God from one generation to the next generation because people have not really allowed people to father them. But it's going to be different with this generation. So we began our apostolic foundation by laying by raising the right people for the right kind of job. So we need to raise breakthrough believers who possess a prevailing mentality. They have a prevailing mentality, a prevailing mindset, you know, and they, praise God. I don't know what happened to my iPad. I'll find it sometime or another. Praise God. Now talking about having this prevailing mentality to advance the kingdom of God. See, there is a people who are not just going to just give up, you know, with the things that's going on. I shared this with some people that really, y'all, I was reading the Message Bible in Luke 6. You know, they talk about, you know, where if men, you know, if they speak evil of you, know that they spoke evil about your fathers and that kind of thing and stuff. But really, when you really walk in the supernatural, this new generation that God is raising up, man, you are really going to be able, you're going to have to really have to have a prevailing mentality, because there are going to be all kind of things that folk going to say that's going to stop you. You understand what I'm saying? The apostle was saying earlier, he said, I just flat don't care. And the thing about it is, this is the thing that I found out. The Lord started sharing with me about how, there are certain people who have laid certain foundation and they've gone laid a certain path, or they've cut a certain path out. They've cut a certain path, and God has used them. See, most times when God is raising somebody up in one generation to pass on something to another generation, well, there has to be a path that's cut first. And so one of the things that people have shunned is persecution. Don't nobody want nobody to say anything, you know, bad about them and that kind of thing and stuff. But guess what? Folks, if they're not saying it bad about you, it's because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So we got in this thing where, you know, we start whenever somebody says so, we got in the shell. You know what I'm saying? And many times people change churches, left churches, you know, because, you know, I'm just tired of church people. Church people just get on my nerves. No. The church is the place that you go, you know, to be able to get the orders to fulfill your kingdom assignment. So God has a person that's a set person that's supposed to be pouring into you. And so when you are receiving all that God would have for you in that place. Now, there's going to be persecution. But if you don't have a prevailing mindset, I'm not going to let nothing stop me. I'm not going to let nothing block me. I'm not going to let nothing hinder me. You understand what I'm saying? So with somebody, you know, here you are, you know, you praying for somebody and that kind of, and that sort of thing. And somebody getting healed and somebody say, you know, they go hold it in now. You just got to come to yourself and just say, I understand. I understand. I understand. People say, you know, you're not no good. And this, you following this person. I understand. I understand. Understand what? I understand that you're not going to understand me. But I got to understand. You understand what I'm saying? I got to understand. So I have to have this prevailing mindset that no matter what. So the apostle been cutting his path. See, watch this, y'all. Watch this. I have seen, you know, and as we travel and that sort of thing and stuff with the apostle, I've seen people just for no reason at all, just look at him, you know, like, just give him a dirty look and stuff. But the thing about it is, watch this. This is what I appreciate so much, is that whenever God is raising up, whenever God has raised up a person to pour into a generation, a new generation, then they're going to have to be able to, they're going to have to be able to go through some things, the ridicule, the lies that people tell on them and all that kind of thing and stuff. But they're going to have to, because God has given them this assignment, they can't worry about it, because there's a generation that they have to pour into that that's going to really touch the world. You understand what I'm saying? So he has taken all of this scrutinizing and people saying all kind of things and stuff about him just so that this next generation can be able to experience a life of increase like we ain't never seen before. I'm telling you, I know this without a shadow of a doubt. This prosperity revival that's coming up this year is a setup from God. Amen. Watch this. I'm going to tell you something. See, watch this. See, whenever Jesus Christ was on the earth, you know, Jesus didn't do things according to how the scribes and the Pharisees and that kind of thing. You know, a man in a situation, you know, Jesus, he go heal a man on the Sabbath. And the people say, well, it's the Sabbath day. You should not be doing that. But Jesus said, you know, if your ox is in the ditch on the Sabbath, you don't just leave him in there, do you? The people were so much, they were so concerned about their traditions and that kind of thing and stuff. So when Jesus moved in a different way from what they were used to or accustomed to, then they began to criticize him. They began to start. I mean, one time they called him Beelzebub. They called him a devil. The Beelzebub, the prince of devils. You understand what I'm saying? But it did not stop Jesus from doing what he had to do. You understand what I'm saying? Because what he was doing was he was trying to pour into those disciples, because he knew that was the time when he was going to leave and those disciples was going to have to carry it out. So I believe that as this thing is going, it's building up momentum now. And I believe this. I believe where people sold, and because they weren't, because I mean, when the apostle got the revelation of money coming, you know, people start coming to the altar and stuff and giving money. People had never seen that before. So this is something that they weren't used to. So they start questioning, because it's not the regular way. The regular way that you get money is that you go work for it. But now God is doing something where he's turning folk from labor to favor. It don't mean that they stop working, but God's going to give them supernatural finances, amen, through a release, through a general that's been walking it out. And I believe, now, you know, Amos 9, I think it is, 13, it talks about the plowman going to overtake the reaper. So what's happening this season, see, once this thing get the rolling the way it is now, see, it's going to, the natural order of things is going to go against the natural order of things. So watch this. We know how seed, time and harvest. We know how a farmer has to plant. We know that's a natural order. He has to plant a seed first, and then he's going to have to cultivate it. Then he's going to have to wait, and then he's going to have to, you know, wait till the harvest come, right? That's the natural way of things, right? But the Bible says there, Amos prophesied that the time was going to come where the plow was going to overtake the reaper. In other words, this thing, once we really get a hold of it, now, I believe the time is here now where as soon as you plant seeds, harvest is going to jump up. So, I mean, you're not going to have to go through the natural art of things of waiting, you know, and watering and that kind of thing and stuff. That as when you sow supernaturally, the harvest is going to start happening. I believe with all my heart. Praise the Lord. And so God had to get people. See, because that's supernatural. That's supernatural. It's natural. It's the natural order to wait for the harvest. You understand what I'm saying? But supernaturally, God can give you the harvest without waiting. That's why the it's called prosperity now this year. Praise God. So we this prevailing mindset is to advance the kingdom. So the church would take the shape of the type of people that it houses. So that's why it's so important, you know, that the people really get a hold of, you know, what the Lord is doing. Because if not, then whatever the people, the kind of mindset the people have, that's what kind of shape the church is going to take. All right, praise God. So the attitude of the people will determine how much work is going to be done. The quality of the hearts, important, the quality of the hearts of the people determine how far they go in finishing the call of God on their life. Your heart has everything to do with it. And so I believe that God will test the hearts of men. That's why that's sometimes when you under a real leader challenge you. You understand what I'm saying? There's been times when apostle has challenged me, and what it did was it caused me to go to another level. Now watch this. Now, some people, they think that when they're challenged, they think that a person is putting them down or something. You understand what I'm saying? Because back again, we got this mindset where, you know, we don't want nobody talking about us. We don't want nobody, you know, don't even act like you're looking down on me, because you're going to make me come out the box. See, but when you really searching for God, really, that flesh part of you supposed to be dead. And so in dying, you begin to start not, you're not listening to everything somebody say, taking it personal. But you know that this is for my betterment. Oh, God, help me in here. This generation is a generation of people who going to say, look, whatever it is I need, you know, help me to become all that God has called me to be. If my pride is in the way, if my ego is in the way, whatever it is, I mean, strip me from everything. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we prayed this here, you know, back in the old church. Lord, shape me and mold me and make me to what you have me to be. We said that, but when God take a instrument, which is his servant, and start cutting you, then people folk don't like that. You know, we want the Lord to cut us. No, Lord said, yes, I am. They just an instrument. I'm doing the cutting. So all the things that's on us, that's stopping us from really becoming all that God wants us to be, all the fat got to go. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all with me here? Praise God. Hallelujah. So the governing church is commissioned to produce breakthrough believers. The governing church, just like here in Darrow, this is a governing church. It's a governing church over this whole region. I don't care what churches is around here, because of what God has placed on the apostle, this church is a governing church. So guess what? Really, if you really want to see what God is really doing, you really got to get to a governing church, and you're going to begin to see exactly what the Lord is doing. Because most times in a governing church, what you see God doing there, you'll be able to check the temperature of other churches around. And if they're not on that same wave, guess what? Many times it's not what the Lord is doing. But a governing church, praise the Lord. So, again, I say here that the governing church is commissioned to produce breakthrough believers. That's why the apostle is so adamant about it. You know, So in fact, without God raising breakthrough believers, governing churches will cease to exist. Breakthrough believers make it possible for governing churches to merge. Definition of a breakthrough believer. A breakthrough believer is an extraordinary, par excellent believer with a prevailing kingdom mentality and a Christ-likeness in expression of character, rising progressively to his God-given potential and calling that is now being used to create influence and impact upon those around him for the purpose of kingdom advancement. Now, a breakthrough believer, he's talking about par excellent believer. See, excellent can't be something that you do. Excellent has to be who you are. You know, a person who's excellent is a person who pay attention to detail. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, let me give you a for instance. A person who is a this breakthrough believer, they are in tune with God. So let's just say if the leader, now I know folk don't like this, but this is just how it is. A lot of times folk don't like if a leader calls, say, we need to do this, we need to get this job done at the church or whatever, and you got to roll your sleeves up and you got to get in, you know, you got to clean up, you got to do whatever and stuff. A lot of times folk feel like they're above that. No. See, a person really that's a breakthrough believer is really keen in the spirit. And so if the leader calls for something, they're the first one to volunteer. Oh, okay, all right, okay, all right. So so they have this kingdom mentality that no matter what, see, watch this. There was a time, I don't know, it was a couple of years ago, and the apostle, he was up teaching. He just made mention of some property that he had. And he said, I passed by some property that I have. He said, and it was all grown up. He said, and he says, a shame. He said, but I got to get somebody to cut it down. And the Holy Spirit said, here's your opportunity to serve. Here's your opportunity to get sweaty, to get dirty, to do whatever's necessary. Because see, if I'm full of pride and I'm full of ego and that sort of thing and stuff, then God will put me in a position where I might even have to pick up some cow manure. Ooh, boy, Lord have mercy. But this makes people cringe when you start talking like this. You know what I'm saying? But all this a part of it. It's a part of it. Tell somebody, it's a part of it. And have this kingdom mentality and a Christ-likeness in expression of character. See, all of this is to form character within you. I was sharing with my church. I served under three pastors, and I understand now why I served under three pastors. Now I never jumped church. I never jumped church because I got offended or something like that. Every pastor that I had released me. There were two pastors that I had released me. The third one is the one that turned the church over to me, and he's the one that told me that I need to follow Dr. Thompson. This man had some insight that folk didn't even realize he had. So this man told me, he said, look, he said, now you need to follow this man. Now watch this now. Okay, I had three men, but all three of them, God had to use three men to teach me how to serve this man. Ooh. See, because think about it now. Most people leave churches because they get offended most times. Sometimes God has called them, you know, sometimes something may happen because God's trying to shift them out or something because he's trying to take them higher. But in most cases, people leave churches and stuff because they get upset with folk. But how many of you know when God is trying to produce character in you? And then the thing about it is, all the three men, you know, they were, they weren't homemongers and that kind of thing and stuff. So I was never under that kind of influence. Y'all with me? See, a lot of times, man, I'm not going to no church just because they got a lot of people. I'm going to go somewhere where a pastor got some character. Somebody who's gonna leave me and my family? Oh no, I'm not trusting my family, you know, to just anybody. You understand what I'm saying? So this mentality, this Christ likeness and expression of character, you have to be around somebody who's honest. Oh man, please. I said you got to be around somebody that's honest. Somebody who's pointing you that's honest. Man, you can't be serving God and being a crook. You understand what I'm saying? And for some people are real talented. You understand? But many times, talent get people in positions that their character can't keep them. Watch this. What they got? Oh, I think it's Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, I mean, he was a wide receiver. I mean, man, real good. I mean, real talented and stuff. But he didn't have no character. No team wanted to put up with it. He had no character. He had no discipline. He don't have no respect for the authority that's over him. You understand what I'm saying? See, all this got to do with character. If God placed you under a leader, then God don't expect you to be rising up and you to feel like, you know, well, I need to be doing this and that kind of thing and stuff. No. I can listen to you. I can learn from you. I can't say that you've never been a tight end, so you can't tell me how to catch a ball or how I need to, you know, work out or whatever and stuff. But the thing about it is you have to trust that this person is in a leadership position, so I respect them and honor them. See, it's God building character in us. See, we have to have this Christ-likeness. See, Christ always acknowledged the Father. You understand? Christ said things like, I only do what I see my Father doing. I'm not doing this on my own. I'm not trying to do anything to impress anybody. Do you know there was a time in Jesus' life when Jesus' brothers tried to get him to say, why don't you just go ahead on, it's time for you to go show your disciples all these miracles that you know you're doing. You know, you shouldn't be here out. And Jesus told him, you know, that his time wasn't yet. And then the scripture says that Jesus' brothers didn't even believe in him. Now, they just was trying to set him up for something bad. But Jesus had an understanding that, hey, I'm not letting nobody blow my head up, make me feel like, you know, I'm so fantastic and stuff. And guess what? And they don't even believe in me. Hallelujah. So all of this is a part of training. All this is a part of building Christ-like character, being humble, humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The only way that you're going to be able to, God is going to be able to raise you up. You are going to have to humble yourself. And you can have false humility if you want to, but false humility will not take the place of true humility. True humility is the only thing that is going to bring exhortation from God. You understand what I'm saying? You can fake it. You can try to make people feel. But if you got this ego, you know, that's just waiting to, you know, I'm going to serve this person and stuff, you know, just so I can get where I need to be. No, God said, you're not going anywhere because your mindset is not right. Your character, because that kind of attitude will only cause you to undermine what God is doing. You understand? Are y'all with me? Praise the Lord. So, I mean, when we talking about, see, if you think about it, and you look at Christendom. See, God got some folk that he got to handpick because everybody don't want to go this route. You know, some people want to go the route of less resistance. They don't want nobody to be, you know, they don't want nobody to tell them, okay, all right, you know, you need to be disciplined. You need to be set down for a while. Set down. Who you think he is? You know, I've been doing this for so long. I don't need nobody to tell me how to do this here. Who they think they are? With that kind of mentality. See, that's not a prevailing mentality. I mean, that's an ego. That's what that is. That's edging God out because, see, I've got to trust God enough that the person that God put in my life, amen, to lead me, I've got to trust that person. What? I've got to trust that person. I got to trust God that God put the person in my life and God spoke to me about this person, you know, me following this person. So this person in my life, I have to follow this person like I would follow God. Hallelujah. Now, the thing about it is, you know, God never took away your senses and that kind of thing and stuff. You know, when you start walking and following God, that don't mean you throw your mind away. Paul said like this. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if somebody going in the wrong direction, I'm jumping off the boat. You understand what I'm saying? But when you got somebody that's going, amen, that's going in direction with God, and the word that they're preaching, amen, God is giving them that word. Man, look, you got to jump in with everything. You got to jump in there wholeheartedly. You can't be around there, you know, messing around, trying to see if somebody else going to go. I'm going. I don't care. If don't nobody else go, I'm going. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not attached to family members, my sister, my brother, my anybody else. If God is speaking to me, I'm going. If I got to jump in by myself. Come on. Hallelujah. See, some people, they got to have a family meeting. Had a family meeting. Let me tell y'all what happened to me. One time, in my walk with God, I was following somebody, and I think it was the first pastor I was following. And I got a phone call from my dad, from my daddy. And my daddy, you know, my daddy was proud that I was following God. You know, I saw my daddy read the Bible every day when I was growing up. And so these people had talked to my daddy and told him that he needed to get me away from the church that I was at. Say that, you know, yeah, your boy is a good boy, but you need to get away from them people over there because they influencing him wrong. And so my daddy sat me down and talked to me. And I said, Daddy, what I learned about honoring and that kind of thing and stuff, I learned that from you. I said, what I learned about, you know, humbling myself, I saw that in you. And I shared that with my dad and stuff. You know what my dad said after that? He said, son, go ahead and follow God and do what you're supposed to do. But they tried to poison my dad to stop me from following who God had told me to follow. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you have to be able to hear from God for yourself. You can't be depending on, you know, all them people, all them voices and all that other stuff. Character rising progressively to his God-given potential. See, every one of us got potential in us. But how many of you know it's going to take somebody who God has called to pour into you, to pull that out of you. You got some gifts, some callings and things in your life you don't even know you have. Many times the man of God can see stuff in your life that you can't see. You understand what I'm saying? So, but this finishing generation, they're going to have all these things working for them. Praise God. Calling that is now being used to create influence, impact around all upon those around him for the purpose of kingdom advancement. One of the things that we have to understand, watch this, with this new generation, with this finishing generation, is this. See, most generations before, it was just about man getting glory for himself. But this generation that God is raising up, they gonna understand. See, watch this. Because like the apostle was talking about, man with these natural strategies and that kind of thing and stuff. Most time, man could put some strategies together and put, you know, some plans together to achieve a certain kind of goal. But the thing about it is, he's only achieving the things that he can achieve in his own strength. But see, when God give you a strategy, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You understand? So you're going to have to be on your faith praying night and day. You got to use, you understand what I'm saying? Your faith got to be stretched. You understand what I'm saying? While you are dependent on God to, because many times when God show you something, God won't show you the whole picture. God only show you a little bit of it just so that you can obey that little bit what you saw. And then as you obey that, God will give you a little more, and then you'll find yourself, you understand? Because see, watch this. Because once the vision that God has given you has come to fruition, that thing is that you know yourself. You know that I didn't do this. Man, if you know how I had to sweat and cry and pray and how I had to believe God, I had to bind, loose, call things that be not as though they were. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, I had to depend on God totally. You understand? So I did not use my ability to do what I did. Okay, let me give you an instance. You know, by trade, you know, I know how to finish concrete. I know how to finish concrete by trade. But so there are some things that I can do just because of what I know. You understand what I'm saying? But I can go and do that in my own ability. So I can't. So I'm going to take some of the credit for that, because that's what I mean, this is what I've been trained to do. But when it goes beyond what I've been trained to do, when I got to call on God to give me wisdom and God to give me insight and God to put the right people in my path, as you know, people who just told me, say, look, I don't know what this means to you, but, I'm an electrician and God just told me to come here and help you do whatever you need to do. And an electrician is the thing that I'm going to be that I'll be needing. And God supernaturally sends them. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a walk with God where you're walking by faith and you believe in God at every turn. And you're not operating your own strength. Hallelujah. So the breakthrough believer is not from an elite company, but a believer who is extraordinary. He's distinguished among others because he carries the spirit of excellence in all that he does and all that he is. This prevailing mindset sets him apart as a unique, distinctive individual. He has a mindset that allows him to view all things victoriously from a prevailing paradigm. In other words, a person who, this breakthrough believer, how many of you know, when you're around a person, I cannot stand to be around somebody who always got negativity when things look like they're not working right. You understand? I want to be around people who, with the walls standing up, still believe in God that they're going to fall. You understand what I'm saying? Like Jericho, around Jericho wall. I don't want to be around folk. You know, we don't walked around 5 days. They hadn't failed yet. Well, the instruction was to walk around 6 days. Then the 7th day, we're going to shout. We have not finished the instructions yet. Why in the world are you getting impatient? You understand what I'm saying? So somebody, I have to, you have to become a person who always see victory, never see defeat. Hallelujah. I don't care what it is you're going through. You never see defeat in it, because you always see yourself coming out on the other side. God always bringing you out. So he thinks like a victor and not a victim. I want nobody always crying, talking about, oh, poor me. Oh, no, I'm going through this. I'm going through that. No, if I'm going through something, praise God. I'm going to praise God right on through it. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I know I'm coming out of this. I know just like, watch this. I know just like God brought me out of that last situation, God's going to bring me out of this. That's why I need to always remember what God did for me. I need to record what God did for me. I need to review what God did for me. Are y'all with me up in here? And then I need to remind God. See, because the Bible said, God said, bring me in remembrance of it. Not that God is forgetting, but God just needs us to bring him in remembrance of what he promised us. So that's why we need to always be going over what God has done for us. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So the breakthrough believers. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. No, he's pleasant to be around. And he is always buoyant in his spirit. You know, like you're putting a ball under the water and then you let it go and it pop back up. A person who don't never down. You can't never hold them down. No matter how many people come against them. Guess what? They still rise to the top. Praise God. And that is when you hear apostle when he's teaching, man, listen, if you can see his heart, man, he's really I've been walking with him for 17 years. You know, if you've been a member of the church, you may have been with him longer than that, but I've been walking with him 7 years, and I've been aiming to walk as close as I can to him. You understand what I'm saying? But what I've always seen, I've seen disappointment in him when he's trying to pour into people and they take it lightly, and they take it like, you know, he's not saying nothing to them. And so this, I learned this from him. You know, I only want to pour into people who want to be poured into. Because most times, like a pitcher with a glass, you know, some people get a little bit in that glass. They get about this much in the glass. The glass is about this high. They get this much and think they got it. And then they go out trying to do ministry and stuff. All you did was just got a few drops. You need to keep on being poured into until you overflowing. You understand what I'm saying? Because God is using this vessel in order to do something in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. My time. All right. All right. So they're always bombarded in his spirit and carrying hope, joy, courage, knowing that all things will be well in God. Breakthrough believers are exemplary. In other words, how many know God got to have, you know, if I look at basketball, you know who's the face of basketball? LeBron James. LeBron James, because of his superstar, he represents the NBA. He's the epitome of the NBA. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the way to breakthrough believer. You're supposed to, when they see you, they see a child of God. This is somebody who really represent God. They really, their character, the way they carry themselves, the way that they love folk. Y'all with me? And whenever that character, that exemplary character in their expression of that Christ-likeness in character, people begin to see Christ in them. They model the kingdom lifestyle with wholeness of character. They have learned the power to live in the spirit and put to death the deeds of the flesh. They die daily to the flesh so that others may receive life in their contact with them. See if you so much alive, you so everything bothers you and you know people come around you and you spurring out, you know, what went on yesterday, and this person did this to me, and that person walked by me and didn't speak to me, and you got all this kind of stuff going on. You got to die from that. I see you got to die. I'm telling you, you got to come to a place where if somebody see you and they don't speak to you, praise the Lord, speak to them. See that's what I always like to ask people. People say, so-and-so didn't speak to me. Why didn't you speak to them? I got neighbors all the time. They pass and stuff, and I be just waving and stuff. They just turn their head, praise the Lord. And get what, the next time they see me, I be waving to God. I say, praise God. I understand why y'all, you know, y'all acting like y'all. I don't understand why y'all hating like that. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. A child of God, there's a certain thing about you that Satan is going to always cause. That's why you can't look at how people treat you, because Satan will always make things look worse than what they are. You understand what I'm saying? So y'all studied for the test the second chapter. Well, I mean the third chapter isn't that much. So the second and the third chapter. Praise the Lord. Y'all got it? All right.